This morning we enter into the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings. And 1 Kings 1 through 2, that's where we're going to be, gives us principles from the Holy Spirit. And the ones I'm focusing on for our lives have to do with making plans. This is a very important sermon. And so I'm teaching on the very most important step of all. When we make plans, I'm talking about myself, you, when we make plans, we usually want the best ideas for making them. So in the processes, we should be considering the best idea of all, and it is seeking God's will. And that might seem like it just makes sense, and that's what people do, Christians do, but that's not what people always do and what Christians always do. But it's the most important step, and it is the best idea. And so God has called you to seek His will and apply it to everything. It's the principle of the best guiding the good, the best being Him guiding good plans. So prepare your heart for this sermon, the most important step when making plans. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you guide me to preach by your Spirit and that we would learn from you concerning this very important principle about making plans. We ask in Christ Jesus' name, amen. Now the setting is that King David is 70 years old. He's on his deathbed. And David's servants decided to get a girl, a young girl, to be his nurse. Her name is Abishag. And she was described as very beautiful. Now the writer makes sure we know that David did not have sexual relations with her. So while with King David, Abishag stayed a virgin. Now at the time, David's oldest son, his fourth son, decided to take advantage of David's declining health. He's 70 years old. He's old back in that time, worn out from just a rough life. He's in his deathbed. And here's the name of the son. The son is Adonijah. And Adonijah is going to take advantage of David. And he's from Haggith, one of David's many wives. And now Adonijah has an idea. But he did not seek the best idea to govern it. This is the lesson. It's all through this. He did not seek the important step. It's what God wants us to do. He didn't seek God's will. And what Adonijah decided was that he was going to be king. Very bad idea. God already ordained for Solomon to be king. Solomon was the son of David's famous wife, Bathsheba. And 1 Chronicles 22 tells us, God said to David, I will give you a son named Solomon. He will reign over Israel. In 1 Chronicles 28:5, David said, from all the sons the Lord gave me, he chose Solomon to rule on his behalf over Israel. And so Adonijah has this bad idea. And now he proceeded to make bad plans, and he formed a coup to be king. And the conspiracy involved David's old general Joab, and also the priest Abiathar, but David knew nothing about Adonijah's plan to make himself king. Well, the next thing Adonijah did was get a parade of people together, and he's having them treat him as if he was to be the next king. And then he made public sacrifices, and he had a feast to anoint himself as king. And he invited his brothers and David's other sons, plus the men of Judah, and also the king's servants to the feast. But Adonijah did not invite people that he knew were against what he was doing. And these people were like Nathan the prophet, Zadok the priest, David's elite warrior, Benaiah, and David's special forces group of what were called the mighty men, nor did he invite his brother Solomon. Now, Nathan the prophet, he knew God ordained for Solomon to be king. So when Nathan found out what was going on, he went to David's wife, Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. And Nathan had a very good idea because it was based on the best idea that the Spirit is urging us, you, me, to always, always seek. Remember what it is. Always seek God's will. Everything. Seeking God's will was Nathan's habit. And when you think you have a good idea, it could be something that you've been thinking about maybe even lately. You know what all's going on in your life right now. Like something that you can think of that's been happening, that you've been planning. Could be a family situation. Could be a money situation. I'm just talking about anything. It doesn't matter how small, how big. The question is, what habit are you approaching that idea with? God wants it to be keeping Him and His will at the forefront at all times. Start with it. That's the first step. That's the best idea. Always be taking the steps to seek God's will first for anything. And so then as you go, keep on seeking God's will in everything that arises. And things are just going to keep on arising. Your plans are going to have to mold and shape and go according to other things. And as they do, God's will never changes. You stay with God's will. And it should be normal for us to do. It should be consistent. Well, Nathan, he was consistent in this. He spoke with Bathsheba about Adonijah deciding to make himself king. And he told her, you know, David doesn't know about this yet. David has no idea this is going on. And so Nathan goes to her, and his godly plan was to save the lives of Bathsheba and Solomon. So he told Bathsheba, you need to go remind David about Solomon being the one who's supposed to be king. And then Nathan told her to ask David this question. So why has Adonijah become king? Nathan planned to be there when Bathsheba spoke to David. So Bathsheba went to David's sickbed. Nathan goes in there also. She said to her husband David, the king, all the eyes of Israel are on you to tell them who will sit on the throne after you. Otherwise, as soon as you die, Solomon and I will be considered offenders. And then Nathan steps forward and explained about Adonijah inviting people to his own self-appointment that day. And they're saying, long live King Adonijah. Well, the news of Adonijah's takeover moved David to make Solomon king right then, transferring the kingdom rule over to Solomon that day. So King David told Nathan and Zadok the priest and the warrior bodyguard Benaiah to have Solomon ride on the king's own animal, and then Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet were going to anoint Solomon to be king over Israel. And then they were to blow a trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. And then David said, Solomon will sit on my throne and be king in my place. I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. Now, this was a good plan. And the reason is because it had the important step, which was God's will. God's will concerning Solomon is what governed it all. And the warrior Benaiah, he recognized it. And so Benaiah said, amen, may the Lord declare it. See, Benaiah knows the principle. The best is what guides the good. It's what guides good plans. And he said, as the Lord has been with King David, so may he be with Solomon and make his throne greater than the throne of King David. Next, Zadok the priest anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet. All the people said, long live King Solomon. And then the people followed him through the city, and they were making so much noise that the ground was shaking. Meanwhile, Adonijah's having that feast. And he's at this feast, and he's got all these guests, and they all hear the noise that's going on outside. So someone runs in, and they tell Adonijah that David made Solomon king, and that Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anointed Solomon. Now Solomon is the actual king. He's sitting on the real throne, and the whole city's rejoicing about it. Adonijah was also told that the king's men said to David, may God make the name of Solomon better than your name and his throne greater than your throne. Adonijah was told that King David bowed himself on his bed. Here he is on his sick bed, not a lot of life left, bows himself on his bed, and he said, blessed be God who granted one to sit on my throne today while my own eyes see it. Well, David acknowledged that it was all God's will. Now, what do you think happened when the people at Adonijah's little party heard about this news? Everything changed, and they abandoned Adonijah. I mean, it hit them hard. And what did they realize? That they had ignored the most important step in making their plans. They saw that they should have sought God in their idea before going forward with it. And so now, Adonijah is afraid for his life. So Adonijah got another idea. And this time it was a pretty good idea. And he made some good steps. What he did is he ran out, he went to the tent of the Lord, and he sought God's mercy by taking hold of the sacrifice altar. What was he doing? Seeking God. Seeking God's grace. Seeking his provision. And for us, when you seek God, your privilege is to seek him through your Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what our covenant is. And you can do it anytime. Anytime. Anywhere. All the time. With complete confidence that God is always on your side. You need to know that. That's what you have in Christ Jesus. You always have that. Well, within, Adonijah sent word for Solomon to swear, please don't kill me. Solomon said, if he's a worthy man, he'll be okay. But if he has wickedness that's found in him, he's going to die. But in mercy, King Solomon told his brother Adonijah, you can go home safely. Now, as David was getting closer to death, David imparted that wisdom that we're looking for in our lives, the wisdom we need as the best step in making plans. David told Solomon, very important, do the job the Lord your God has assigned you.
Amen.
So I ask you, do you understand that advice to Solomon to be your simple marching orders in everything? This is the way to plan. Do the job the Lord your God has assigned you. That's our calling. And our particular calling, your calling, you have this calling from God, has a special kind of shape. God has called you to manifest the life of Christ in all you do. That means you're manifesting His grace, okay? And it means you're manifesting His lordship in obedience. You're manifesting His love. That's the big deal. That's really the big deal, manifesting the love of Christ. It's your calling. So when you plan, this is what you do. You plan doing the job the Lord your God has assigned you. And so you do this with your family, with your friends. You live the life that Christ has given you, which is His life. See? And if your plan is to do the job that the Lord your God has assigned you, manifesting the life of Christ, you always know you're on the right track. You're on the right track. So with Solomon, David said, do the job the Lord your God has assigned you by following His instructions and obeying His rules, commandments, regulations, and laws as written in the law of Moses. Well, the ministry of the Spirit speaks this way, and we got to listen. Go to the Word of God. That's where you go. The Bible. And we are particularly using New Covenant, New Testament revelation as the lens to look through to govern how we understand and apply His Word to our life. That's what I'm doing right now going into 1 Kings 1 and 2. But the Bible is your governing guide. Follow His instructions. You have them, okay? Obey His rules and regulations. You have them. Doing so is the plan for success. So David said next, then you will succeed in all you do and seek to accomplish. Well, that's it. And that promise really is for you. You're seeking the best, and so the best is what? It's getting you there. And so the Spirit wants us to know something about this. What succeeding means for us, for you, it's more than outcomes. Now, of course, there's success in outcomes, but it's more than that. Succeeding is to do what God wants no matter what.
Amen.
That's it. That is what succeeding is for us. And I found relief in knowing this in my own life. We actually brought something up about this in men's meeting yesterday. When I find circumstances have me going in all kinds of directions and I have a hard time figuring out what success is supposed to be, and sometimes it really is a difficult thing, I know that when I'm seeking the best step in my plans, I'm already succeeding.
Amen.
Already. And so you see, God is saying that when you're walking in the governing step, you're walking in success already. And this is what we're doing. We're walking with the Lord. He's the one that decides what success is. So whatever it is you're going through, always know that when you're following the Lord, you are succeeding. And always remember that there are consequences for going the other way. Now with David, he went on to explain the consequences of going the other way. David reminded Solomon of General Joab. General Joab. He was one of the co-conspirators. He was out there with Adonijah. And so David told Solomon about the evil steps that General Joab planned in the past. Joab had a history. And those things happened with Joab because he was not pursuing God's will in his plans. And I don't know if you remember, but I'm going to remind you, Joab murdered two commanders of the armies of Israel. And he did it for personal reasons. It was Abner and it was Amasa. It was murder. Innocent guy. He shouldn't have done it. And so dying David told Solomon not to let Joab go to the grave in peace. And there was another man David wanted Solomon to deal with, Shimei. Shimei cursed David on the day that David fled from another coup, from his other son, Absalom. And so David told Solomon not to let Shimei go unpunished. And then we read that David finally passed away. He died. Now in the meantime, Adonijah started making the same big mistake again. He's taken his eyes off of God's will. He had his eyes on Abishag. This beautiful girl had been David's nurse. And what he wanted was her to be his wife. Now, the problem was that though Abishag was a nurse who happened to remain a virgin with David, she was still considered King David's concubine. And so culturally, you got to just think about it back then. Taking possession of a concubine of a deceased king was associated with acting like you were making a claim to the throne. And being the oldest son of David at the time, and if married to Abishag, Adonijah would be recognized as being in a position to start moving toward taking over the throne in another attempt. See how things were looking? And so Adonijah had this plan, but it wasn't a good one. And this is so important. He went to Solomon's mother, he went to Bathsheba, and he showed he wasn't having God's will in mind. He told Bathsheba that the kingdom had been his and that all Israel expected him to be king. He's talking about that little party he had. And he said, but the kingdom was turned around to become my brother's. Well, this manipulative statement was wrong, and it was also revealing. The kingdom was never Adonijah's. God ordained it for Solomon. Everybody knew it. Adonijah tried to steal it, and he failed, and he was only alive by Solomon's mercy. But then Adonijah said something that completely recognizes God's plans. It's very interesting. Though Adonijah did not respect what he was about to say, he said this, the kingdom was David's from the Lord. Well, that's true. But the problem is that Adonijah was not accepting that the kingdom was now Solomon's from the Lord. And so Adonijah should have sought the Lord in what he was desiring to do. But in his bad plan, he asked Bathsheba, please speak to Solomon because he will not refuse you that he may give me Abishag as a wife. So Bathsheba went to her son, King Solomon. She said, I'm making one small request of you. Solomon said, ask my mother, for I will not refuse you. And she said, let Abishag be given to Adonijah, your brother, as a wife. Well, King Solomon instantly realized that Adonijah had asked Bathsheba to make this request. But Solomon also knew Adonijah's plan was ungodly. It had the seeds of a plot in it, which were evidently destined to sprout to another coup to get the kingdom. So Solomon said, why are you asking for the girl Abishag to be for Adonijah? You might as well ask that he get the kingdom because he's my older brother, but also the kingdom for Abiathar the priest and for Joab who had joined with him. And so what we see is that Adonijah's plan backfired. He was not walking in success. See? Not even walking in, remember the principle. When you're walking in seeking God's plan and you're walking in God's will, you're already walking in success. No matter what happens to the eyes of what we see in the world, when you're walking in God's will, he sees you being successful. And that's who we want to see, right? Us being successful. So he wasn't seeking God's will no matter what, and Adonijah was not. And so now he's about to fall into the flames of failure. And so King Solomon lays it out. He said, Adonijah had spoken against his own life, and that now Adonijah is going to be put to death. And since Adonijah sought the bad to guide the bad, he got the bad result. And King Solomon had Benaiah execute Adonijah, execute him for treason. And then Solomon spoke to one of Adonijah's co-conspirators, Abiathar the priest. And Solomon told Abiathar, go off to your own field because you deserve to die. But I'm not going to put you to death because you carried the ark of the Lord before my father David and because you were afflicted in everything with which my father was afflicted. So he lets Abiathar go off to live on his property. And Solomon also dismissed Abiathar from being priest to the Lord. He says, you're not going to be a priest any longer. Now, why would Solomon do that part? Abiathar was a Levite. He was a priest by God's ordination, not the king's. Didn't Solomon need to follow the most important step? Remember what it is? Always seek God's will. That's the step. Solomon needed to apply it for the very good way to handle all of this. The best guides the good, so that's what he needs. Well, the thing is, that's exactly what Solomon was doing. You see, the scripture tells us that Solomon dismissed Abiathar from being priest to the Lord in order to fulfill the word of the Lord concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. And so if you don't know, let me explain what this means. Way back in the past, the priest Eli had two sons, and they were unbelieving sons, and they were also priests. They were in the Levitical family, so they became priests, Hophni and Phinehas. And Eli was told that because his sons stole from the sacrifices And they also fornicated with women serving at the temple door. And because they really didn't know Yahweh, God was going to eradicate Eli's family line. Well, Abiathar was the only one left of Eli's family line. And so now in God's will, and we're told this, we have this revelation to us in Solomon's plan. So Solomon's planning, but his plan is godly. The finalization of God's prophetic decree was just applied to Abiathar. And so now you have this remaining issue. And it's this other accomplice in Adonijah's previous coup attempt, old General Joab. Not only had Joab conspired with Adonijah, Joab had prophecies of doom on his life from years before concerning those serious sinful actions. Now, Joab knew he's about to be dealt with, finally. And so he got an idea. And it seemed like it was using the most important step. Joab ran to the tent of the Lord. He took hold of the sacrifice altar, just exactly like Adonijah had done back when he first got grace from his brother Solomon. So General Joab runs in, he does the same thing. But this time, Solomon had no grace. He sent Benaiah to go execute Joab. Now why? Why? Why no mercy? Why didn't Solomon give General Joab grace, mercy, at the altar of grace and mercy like he had done with his brother? After all, Joab was one of David's mighty men. He fought hard for the Lord. He's also the one who told David it was a sin to number Israel, and he was instrumental in getting David to repent. God was using Joab for many, many things. Solomon should have considered all that, seek the best route of going with God's will, right? Well, like stripping Abiathar from the priesthood, Solomon's response to Joab at the altar was according to the success of seeking the Lord. Solomon said, now listen to these words. This is very important. Solomon said, remove from me and from my father's house the blood which Joab shed without cause. Pay attention, because Solomon was seeking God's ultimate will in all of this. And it overrode anything General Joab was trying to do now to fix it. And actually, Solomon was fulfilling Exodus 21:14 in an eerie, I mean, it is an eerie word-for-word detail concerning Joab. Listen to this. Exodus 21:14. It says there in God's word, if a man acts presumptuously toward his neighbor so as to kill him craftily, you are to take him even from my altar that he may die. Is that not interesting? That whole commandment was Joab. And so Solomon said, the Lord will return Joab's blood on his own head because he killed two men more righteous and better than he, while my father David did not know it, and Abner, the commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa, the commander of the army of Judah. This is what Solomon said. So he's pointing it all out. So will their blood return on the head of Joab and his descendants forever, but to David and his descendants and his house and his throne, may there be peace from the Lord forever. Solomon is cleaning house. And I mean, this is shortly after David died. So by executing Joab, Solomon declared the way for God's full blessings to David's household, which went all the way down to Jesus, who sits on the throne. So Benaiah killed Joab. And then Solomon appointed Benaiah over the army to replace Joab. And Solomon appointed Zadok the priest in place of Abiathar. And so Solomon killed the two men his father instructed him to deal with. But there was that other man, Shimei. Shimei was the one who cursed David when Absalom tried to steal the throne years before. Solomon punished Shimei by commanding him, you can never go out of Jerusalem. That if Shimei ever left Jerusalem, he'd be put to death. Shimei said to King Solomon, the word's good. And my master the king has said, so your servant will do it. So Shimei lived in Jerusalem. But two of Shimei's servants ran away to the city of Gath. So Shimei got an idea. The problem was, it was a bad one. He did not seek God's will. Now, he could have gone before Solomon and asked for help in getting his slaves back, but he went the route of disobeying the king. Shimei foolishly left Jerusalem to go get his servants back. But Solomon had warned him, if you leave, you're going to die. When Solomon found out, he sent for Shimei. Solomon said, did I not make you swear by the Lord and solemnly warn you, saying that if you leave Jerusalem, you will die? And you said the word is good. Why did you not keep the oath of the Lord and the command I laid on you? In other words, why did you not take the most important step in making your plans. This is the lesson. See, take the most important step always. And then Solomon said something that has details. It just reflects everything that we've witnessed so far. He said, "You know all the evil which you acknowledged in your heart, which you did to my father David. Therefore, the Lord will return your evil on your own head." Way back when Shimei cursed David, David said the Lord would repay Shimei. And so knowing that, Solomon told Shimei, "You will be cursed, but the king, King Solomon, will be blessed, and the throne of David will be established before the Lord forever." Another prophetic pointing to the coming of Christ to sit on the throne of David forever in the future, which he does. So in the final rebuke to Shimei, Solomon declared the blessing of David's throne, the redemptive fulfillment in our Savior Jesus Christ on the throne forever. But in the meantime, Solomon told Benaiah, execute Shimei, and he did. And the last chapter, the last sentence in the chapter, in chapter 2, says this: "Thus the kingdom was established in the hands of Solomon." Now my urging to you, and we all need to live by this, is always include the most important step in making your plans. Don't avoid it. Don't ignore it. Don't forget about it. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be something major. It could be minor. I mean, you can think of things you're planning right now. But whatever it is, always seek God's will in everything you do. Every single tiny little thing you say, everything that you plan to say, every action you plan to do, project you plan to do, confrontation with somebody, anything, business deal, purchase, it's a plan, right? Always, you want your ideas to be truly good ideas. So you need the best idea to guide you into the good. And so here's the take home. Employ the best. Seek the Lord and follow the Lord. Amen?